Exodus 24. I have an aunt that's 10 years older than me. And every time I go see her, she talks about myself and my brothers. And she said, "I love you boys." And so I went on, I made a mistake. If she listens to this tape, I'm going to tell her I was temporarily insane. She listens to this CD. But, you know, the last time I made a mistake going on vacation with her and her husband. And I couldn't get away from her. I left one day and went walking on the beach, and, you know, I was gone all day, you know. She calls me about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. "Where are you? When are you coming home? Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm okay. I'm on the beach. And I'm okay. I'm going to be all right." "Well, did you put suntan lotion on?" I said, "Aunt Clara, I'm 62 years old. I'm okay. I'm going to be all right." "Well, I just want to call and make sure you were going to be okay. Ricky, you make coffee too strong. It's going to hurt you." I said, "I've been making coffee for 40 years, Aunt Clara. If you don't like my coffee, pour it out and make your own." Because she sees me as that little boy that used to visit her from between the ages of 8 and 16. I went out to her house every summer. Her house, and then when she was married, went out to Grandpa's, and she'd come over and see me and take me for ice cream. And so she always sees me as that little boy. The mistake we make with Jesus is we see him as that guy that walked around on the earth for 3.5 years, that was kind and gentle and held kids and preached the gospel and fed people. And how many know Jesus is not that man anymore? King of kings and Lord of lords. He's God of the universe. He's the one that created everything. And in his presence, he's Lord. Jesus will never come and just be a buddy that will sit and wait for you. When he comes, when he encounters us as the Lord. He doesn't have faces and hats and attitudes and emotions like we do. "I'm with you today, but can you just, you guide things. You pray. I'll follow you." No, Jesus, when he comes, he's always Lord. When he manifests in our hearts, he's always Lord. Watch here in Exodus chapter 24. The children of Israel, the children of Israel saw God, the law of first mention. Verse 15, it says, "Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel." Now, this had not been the first time they saw the manifest presence of God, but this was the first time they saw him in the authority with Moses going and speaking with him. They had heretofore, they had seen him in the fire, the pillar of fire that stood between them and Israel or Egypt, at the crossing of the Red Sea. But when they saw the Lord, it says that his glory was like a consuming fire. Now, I grew up in a Methodist church where we lit the candles every Sunday. I was one of the little altar boys that took up, you know, this little thing with the flame on the end and the cup, the dangling cup. How many remember that? Did you go to that kind of church? And, you know, everybody would visit and hang out. When the candles were lit, we'd all get holy, because the candles were lit. And we'd do our thing. We'd have our, you know, our hymn, and then announcements, then the second hymn, then offering, then the message, then the third hymn, and we'd close. We'd have the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Come on. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Then you'd walk up, put the flame out. Then everybody go eat pie and hang out. Whatever. Come on, somebody. God is not a little candle. He's not the guy walking around hanging out with children and putting children on his knee. He's the Lord. He's a consuming fire. There's a lot of difference between a candle and the consuming fire of God. When I think of a consuming fire, I think of a fire that takes over and burns everything in its sight. Everything it touches, it burns. The glory that we pray for and ask for is the manifest presence of the Creator of all things. And if we have a picture in our mind, if we've locked Him into that 3.5 years when He walked the earth, we miss so much of God. We miss so much of what He wants to do in us. Yes, He came. Yes, He was born of a virgin. Yes, He died on the cross. Yes, He beat death. Yes, He rose from the dead. Yes, He rose into heaven. But how many know He's always and forever? When He introduced Himself to John in Revelation, He said, "I am the first and I'm the last. I'm the Alpha and the Omega." And when John saw Him, he fell as dead man. John, who was his best friend on earth, when he looked into Jesus' eyes, there were fire. He fell as if a dead man. How many know when God comes, He comes in a presence of consuming fire? And I looked up consume. It says to eat up or to devour. What we are asking for when we ask God to come, He first, if He's going to come and manifest, we say, "Set a fire in my soul." Do we really know what we're asking of Him? Because He's not going to light a candle. He's coming as a consuming fire. He's coming as a fire of a holy God that's going to burn away everything that stands between. He says, He introduces Himself as a jealous God. "I, the Lord God, am a jealous God." And when we ask Him to come, He's not going to light a candle. He's going to burn. He burns things away. He burns all the distractions, burns all the things of the world. And that's why a lot of people want to put Him at bay. "God, I just want the candle. I don't want the fire. I just want You to be there. I understand the historical Jesus, and I thank You for dying for me, and I thank You for forgiving me, and I thank You for writing my name in Your book, but can I wait until I see You in glory for the fire? Because it's not convenient." Every time God comes, He comes in fire and anointing. When the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit's treated like a red-headed stepchild sometimes. We don't want the Holy Spirit to come. Maybe people get crazy when the Holy Spirit comes. That's what He does. He comes and stirs us from the inside out. We don't lose control. We sing that song. It's actually improper to say that, "Set a fire in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control." God never lets us be out of control, but He'll consume us with His presence if we let Him. Come on, somebody. Second Chronicles chapter 7. Solomon had finished praying. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, much like we talked on the day of Pentecost with Elijah and his fire. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. When all the children of Israel, verse 3 said, they saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Folks, we need a revelation of God. We need a revelation of God again. Come with Your fire and Your glory. We sing about it like it's convenient for Him to come. Lord, come and we'll light a candle for you. Come and just burn just a little bit. No, when he comes, he burns everything away. A candle will throw some light, but it's subject to where it is situated. Set a candle over here, it lights, and over here it's dark. A small fire might warm and light, but will disappear if it's not tended. No, the fire of God, a consuming fire, eats and devours. It's the kind of fire God desires to bring to the church. It's the only thing that's going to attract the lost. Because there's all kinds of fires out there. Come on, somebody. There's all kinds of candles being lit. There's all kinds of fires being banked. But the real, true, honest fire of God burns up the sacrifice. Am I the only one that's ever made a deal with God? God, come and burn what I want you to burn and leave what I want you to leave. God, if you can burn this, then I'll be a better preacher. If you can burn this, I'll be a better prayer. If you can burn this, and God says, man, when you come, I'm not going to come and piecemeal. I'm not going to come and just do. I'm going to come and burn. See, I'm going to come and burn like a fire. Like a consuming fire. That's who I am. That's who he was when he appeared to Israel. That's who he was when he burned Elijah's sacrifice. That's what he was when he burned Solomon's sacrifice. That's what he was when he came on the day of Pentecost. Fire. And it consumed. It was a consuming fire. The New Testament says our God is a consuming fire. But you know, the bottom line is, when we're doing the seeking of God, we have to be hungry if we want filled. We've got to set the altar in our heart like Elijah set the altar. We've got to put the stones where they belong. We've got to put the wood where they belong. We've got to say, God, here is my life as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now beware when the Bible says sacrifice. Sacrifice cannot happen without fire. It's not a convenient little Presbyterian sacrifice. God, I'll show up 10 minutes early to church and I'll stay 15 minutes after and pray. That's the sacrifice I'm going to give you. God says, no, if you're going to bring yourself as a living sacrifice, I'm burning everything that's not me. Come on, somebody. And the richness and the power and the anointing of Almighty God is the only thing that's there. And that's what he wants. We belong to him. We're owned by him. He said, all I want to do is use you as vessel. I want to use you. I want to fill you and I want to use you. There'll be a day when you'll come and you'll see me and you'll be like me. You'll know me just like I know you. There'll be a day when you come and stand with me. But until then, I want to use you. I want to come and burn away all the other stuff and use you. We must be hungry, my friends, before we are filled. We ask God to fill us. We are asking to be emptied as well. The most dangerous place to be today is satisfied. We should never be satisfied with where we're at. We know he's a God. He's the God of the universe, the first, the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He's all, he's everything. How can we possibly know him in one lifetime? How can we possibly say we know God? When we sing, I want more of you, it should be a cry, a passion from our heart. Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. And when he comes as Lord and we're his servant, he said, I want to feel you. I want to touch you. That's why every time there's somebody asks me to come and pray, I'm coming to the altar. I'm getting prayed for. I'm getting touched, because every time something is being burned away in me. And this true hunger of God attracts His fire. If you're truly hungry, God sends His fire and burns everything up so He can have that intimate relationship with you. So you know what God's saying. So He's ordering your footsteps. So you're a man or woman of God. So when He wants to use you in any occurrence to win the lost, which is His main goal, you're ready. There's nothing standing between you and Him. You're ready to go. Living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world. Transformed by the renewing of our mind. That will not only know but prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's not just for fivefold ministry. That's not just for the few that are preaching. That's for every one of us. This is being addressed to brethren and sistren. How many know? This kind of true hunger cannot be faked. It attracts the fire of God. It attracts the glory of God. God will only manifest in yielded vessels. I was watching a preacher the other day on video, and people were being ministered to all over the house. And he went back and he started ministering to this person, and they were just being filled with the Holy Ghost. And this lady was sitting beside him with her arms folded, her head down, and her legs folded, crossed. Just sitting there. Power of God was all over him and all over everybody behind her and beside her. She was just sitting there like this. The dangerous thing is that God will only do what you ask Him to do. He'll never usurp your authority. Say, God only come this far. He's not going to come by degrees. He's just going to be, because He said He'd never leave you or forsake you. He's not even a backseat driver. He just sits there and lets you make mistakes. Until you finally get to a place you say, God, I want You. I want all of You. I want all of You. I want Your fire, God. I want Your presence, God. Get hungry. God doesn't fill full vessels. Here's a prayer to pray. Dip me in the kerosene of Your Spirit and set me on fire. Set me on fire, God. Burn everything away. Dip me in the kerosene of Your Spirit and set me on fire. Fire that's shut up in my bones. Fire that we can't contain. Fire that burns. It burns all the cares of the world away. It burns all the things of the world. It burns all the garbage out of our spirit, out of our soul, out of our mind and will and emotions. It burns it away so that all we have is God. And that's God's ultimate goal for us, is to be everything. Someone once said, if I'm everything, if I'm something, God cannot be everything and He cannot work His fullness in me. But if I am nothing, God can be everything. And He can work His fullness through me. Pretty good deal. God said, I'll be 100% and you'll be zero with the rim kicked off. How's that work? Come on, someone. So He gets all the glory. Never will God exalt a vessel. We exalt vessels. Come on, somebody. God's not going to exalt a vessel one above another. We exalt vessels. Oh, you know, I went and got prayed for so-and-so. And just before he died, he laid hands on me. Who cares? Who laid hands on you? It's God in the person that you're looking for. Yes, we're supposed to lay hands. Yeah, I want to get my hands on you tonight. Yes, there'll be an impartation. But it's not me, it's not you, it's not anyone else, it's God. He's a consuming fire. He's worked it so He works through from one person to another. But it doesn't matter what person it is. When God gets a hold, He changes everything. My question for you tonight, do you want a candle? Do you want a campfire? Or do you want a consuming fire of God? Because God will meet you where your faith is. If you want a convenient little candle to carry around, If that's all you want of God, you came to the wrong place. If you just want a little campfire to warm up to, you know, God, I'll give you 15 minutes at the beginning of the day. No, it starts at your feet and it just comes up when you wake up in the morning. You just say, God, I just want to do whatever you want me to do today. I'm yours. And tomorrow it starts all over again. And the next day it starts all over again. It's never cruise control. Come on, somebody. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been serving God for a long time. And I still have not found cruise control. Come on, somebody. It's God. He wants to run the thing. He wants to run my life. He's happy when He's in charge. He's like that, God is. It's not a big ego. He just says, I know what I'm doing. I've done it millions of times. Successfully, thank you very much. Nothing you are surprises me. Nothing you do surprises me. All your failures, I've taken care of. All your sins, I've washed away with my blood. I'm not surprised at that thing. Let my Holy Spirit come and use you and minister to you and heal you and put you in a place where I can work through you. He has not done what we know He can because we put a kibosh on Him. That's why revival hasn't broken out like He really wants it to. Because He's looking for a church to work through with no barriers. God, come and use us as You always wanted to do. Do what You always wanted to do in us, God. Do what You always wanted to do. Lord, we take restrictions off. Lord, we crush cruise control, God. We're not, Lord, whatever You want to do, whatever You do, Lord, do it the way You want to, God. That's a dangerous prayer. I've been praying that prayer lately. It's a dangerous prayer. You say, well, you know, we need decorum. We need a little bit of, you know. We start at the proper time and we shut down at the proper time. You know, and whenever we have, whenever we pray for the offering or whenever we, you know, start the service, we want to be proper. It's proper time. God, we invite You, Lord. We invite You for the next, let's see, hour and a half. God, our time is from 10:30 to noon. At noon, God, we kind of got to go do our own thing. So for an hour and a half, God, do like You did in the Gospels, Lord. Come and heal people. Come and preach. Come and feed people. Come and do this. And at noon, God, we want You to go. After all, we got to have decorum. People aren't going to come to a crazy place. Yes, they will. Yes, they will, because they want something real. They don't want something with decorum. The world is not looking for candles. They're looking for consuming fires. The world's not looking for a little banked fire. They're looking for something to consume them, to give them reality. When I came to the Lord, April 1981, my initial encounter with the Holy God, I got saved on the 19th, but on the 23rd, I heard about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I said, that sounds good to me. Man, I went to that guy's house. I've told this story before. I went to the house, woke the whole house up. When I had that initial encounter with God, it was the consuming fire of God. It burned everything out of me that was worth burning. I just started to pray in tongues, and I was caught up for an hour into the Spirit of God, and He burned, and He burned, and He burned, and He burned. And in September 1988, when I went to India, the power and the anointing of the Holy God and the fire of God, saw blind eyes open, saw demons coming out, saw people getting out of wheelchairs by the dozens. The fire of God burning people. June 1994, I had a power encounter with His presence. The fire of God. See, these are things that God does in an initial reaching us like He always wanted to. May 1996, the manifest presence of God. Manifest presence of God hit me in May 1996. I had a life-changing encounter. February 2001, I just started pastoring a church in Philadelphia. And I had a speaker in. We did 30 days of Holy Ghost meetings. We had a backdoor revival. You know, how many of you know what I mean by backdoor revival? There are people come, never came back. Members saw the power of God and they said, no, we want the candle, we don't want the fire. They left. Never did see him again. Well, how many know the fire of God? People were hungry. They came from all over. We had a meeting for 30 days, every night. Power of God, the presence of God. He met me where I was. The blazing fire of God from 2002 to 2009. Blazing fire of God. Every time I'd pray, every time I'd go somewhere, the fire of God burning in me, telling me what my destiny was. And then in 2013, right down on 11th and Main Street, an encounter with the fire of a holy God, struck with fire. Come on, somebody. Make your own list. When did you meet with God in a powerful way, change your life? Not the little convenient God, but the fire of God. Sunday, May 20th, right here, 2018, the fire burned in me right here on the floor. I'm still ablaze in His flames. It burned stuff away from me I didn't even know was blocking me from God. Come on, somebody. Looked pretty good to me. Are you there? Come on. Looked pretty good to me. That looks pretty holy, God. Can I keep that? It's God plus that? God said, no, I'm burning it away. I only want it to be me. Pure God. He's a jealous God. He don't want anything. Talents. What's He care about talents? Come on, somebody. Well, I've got this talent to give God. You know what He does with talents? He burns them up. Because if it's on our own strength, man, we need to break through. Come on, church. We need to break through to the fire. Consuming fire. Consuming fire. Is tonight your night to encounter God in a consuming fire? Is tonight your night that He finally is going to break through on that prayer that you prayed for years? Something you kept secret for years. And I'm talking to somebody tonight. God wants to break through and finally burn it away. Tonight's your night. It could be the turning point in your life. You say, on a rainy night in a small room on this corner of Rochester. Yes. Because when God comes, He comes as a consuming fire. See? And that's not to say tomorrow night might be another one or tomorrow morning. Because every time God comes, He comes as the Lord. When you meet and encounter God, one of you are going to leave different and it ain't going to be God. You're not going to change God. I know, I've tried. How many have tried to change God's mind? You know, I'm a little thick-headed. Paul only prayed 3 times and the Holy Spirit said, you know, God said, I'm not going to, He said, take this from me. And 3 times I prayed, and God said, I'm not going to take it. Finally, he went, not me, man. I'm stubborn. I keep praying. God, could you just see your way clear to... I mean, you know, I'm hoping that God changes from no to yes. Are you aware that when God says no, He means no? How many know that? Because I'm a pretty good persuader. Ask my wife. She could start out saying no, and I've convinced her into all kinds of things. I've gotten my family in trouble by convincing. My wife, okay, honey, if you think that's the way to go. And then when we go ahead and make that decision, she said, do you think that's a good decision you made? God never changes. When He says no, He means no. But when He says yes, He means yes. The negative side is when He says no. But when you say, God, I want this, He said, yes, I'll give it to you. Oh, glory to God. Because then you know it's His will. Then you know it's His will. We say, well, there's only certain ways that God... Listen, God is looking for desperate people. He doesn't rest on decorum. He doesn't rest on laws and rules. It's relationship. It's His mercy and grace above His law. Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about living an unholy life and getting a holy God. I'm talking about breaking through to God. David understood, and he was soaked with the presence of God. And when he came into Israel, when he was carrying the ark, the priests were carrying the ark. So every six steps, he sacrificed a bull. By the time he got to Israel, by the time he got to Jerusalem, by the time he walked in the city, naked except for underwear. Dancing so hard, sweating, because he knew the presence of God was coming. He said, I never want to be without the presence of God. And his wife said, what in the world are you doing? Dancing in your underwear, you're king. Where is your decorum? Where's the crown? Where's the thing? Why aren't you riding on a donkey? Why aren't you coming in as a victor? He said, I'll even be more undignified. Because he knew the presence of God. And he said, put that ark right here by my wife's flower bed. I'm going to keep it right here. Broke every law. Why? Because he knew he wanted God. He wanted God in His consuming fire. He wanted a God on His terms. God leapt over the testaments into David's heart. Said, this is a man after my own heart. This is a man on His throne. I'll send my embodiment of my power. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. I'll come on the throne of David. Come on, somebody. Soaked with His presence. Moses, Joshua, David went face to face with God in His glory. Why? Because they wanted all of God. They wanted Him to come in His glory. Don't expect the fire of God to come without change. When the fire of God comes, schedules, priorities, relationships will never be the same. Just was praying. I said, God, I want you to do what you always wanted to do in me. He said, you're going to have to break relationships. If you want all of me, you're going to have to break away from some relationships. Come on, somebody. That's hard to do. Because we don't want to let people down. You want all of God? You might have to say no to somebody. Might have to be seen as weird. Schedules, priorities, relationships will never be the same. Hungry, 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 hungry for God. Hungry for God. Hungry for God. Not somebody that just sits and picks at the food. I'm just hungry. Lord, I just want enough of you to make sure that I'm still good with you. I just want enough of you. 1975, I went from Pennsylvania over to Colorado, and then I went down to Texas. By the time I got there, I looked like a lobster. It was bright red. I was on a motorcycle with my buddy, and I got down to my aunt's house, the same aunt that I talked about. And I got to her house, and I was 135 pounds. It was about that big around. I had large bib overalls, and they were hanging on me. And I was used to eating just about as little bologna sandwiches was my favorite, because at the time it cost 35 cents for a loaf of bread and about that much for couple pieces of bologna. That was my favorite meal. But you know what? When I got to her house, she said, "You need to eat." She made me a big meal. How many know? All my manners went out the window. Every time she made a meal, I was the first one there. I was hungry, man. Fill me, fill me, fill me. God will only fill empty vessels. Are you hungry? Do you just want to nibble? If you want to nibble, you came to the wrong place. God says, "I don't want you to nibble me. I want to consume you. I want to fill you with me." Will emotions be touched? Of course they will. When you come into an encounter with God, a holy God, He's not coming as Jesus did in His 3.5 years on the earth as this nice guy in a robe, talking quietly and sweetly. Turn with me in Revelations. Get your Bibles. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. John, the beloved. John who hang out with Jesus. John who stood at the cross and looked at Jesus. His face marred more than any man. Looked up at Jesus and Jesus said to him, "John, behold your mother." He loved him so much he gave him his mother. He said, "Behold, mother, behold your son." This was John that when they were eating at the table, John was resting his head on Jesus' chest. The closest friend Jesus had on earth. John, the one that was in while the trial was happening and Peter was by the fire denying. John was in the temple with Jesus, standing with him in trial. He knew Jesus. He knew Jesus. The conversations they must have had between them. Oh, I'd have loved to have been there. Wouldn't you? Just love to have been there with talking to John. John, we're getting ready to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified. He said that to all the disciples, but he had conversations like men do between one another. You know, I'm going up to Jerusalem and I'm going to be on trial and I'm going to be crucified. They're going to beat me. They're going to crucify me. John, I need you to know I'm coming back. I'm not going to stay away. I'm going to return. I mean, John and him have this thing going, man. The intimacy, but yet here in Revelation chapter 1, I, John, in verse 9, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, first and last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the 7 churches, which are to Pergamos, Thyatira, to Sardis, Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as if refined in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. This was the Jesus that appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. Not some guy that was, "Let me pray for kids and feed the masses." He appeared to Paul and Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus that you persecute." The same Christ that now appeared to John, his best friend on earth. "When I saw him, I felt his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death.'" He declared to him in the front when he was still behind him, "I am the first and last." And when he rose, he said, "Don't be afraid, I'm the first and the last." That's the Christ that we're asking to come and fill us tonight. We're saying, God, I want an encounter with you. I want you to come and burn away everything that's not me, that's not you, and just you be in me. God, set my marriage right. Set my relationships right. Set my witness right, God. Be everything that you do in me what you always wanted to do, God, without restraint. I give you full control of my life. And he comes with eyes like fire to live inside of us anew and afresh, to take his rightful place. He said he'd never leave or forsake, but we've made him uncomfortable in us. We've set him over in a corner, not on the throne of our lives. God goes from being resonant in our life to president of our life by the power of his Holy Spirit. God, come. Come on, folks, pray with me. God, come. Do what you always wanted to do in me. Speak like you always wanted to speak through me. Lord, call me to that place that you called me before. I promise this time I'll come. No restraint. No restraint. God's speaking to you tonight. You've been praying that prayer since you walked in the room. God, do what you always wanted to do through me. This is your night. This is your night tonight. This is your night tonight. Let's just worship the Lord for a little bit. Come on. Don't worry about the people beside you. Don't worry about the time. Everything's okay. Let that be the cry of our heart tonight. God, do what you always wanted to do in me.